It's time for What's Up with Minister Paul Goldsmith.
Yes, it is. At the Mario Minister.
Good morning.
Good How morning. Good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
We've made you an interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Looking forward to having a catch-up. There's lots to talk about. Obviously, you know, sending our thoughts to everyone down in Te Whanganui Ātaro at the moment with the wild weather that's taken hold. Hope that everyone that you know is safe down there.
Yes. It's been a pretty wild couple of days. Very cold, howling southerly, and just won't stop raining. But so some people have had a pretty rough time. Fortunately, we're on a slight hill here in Parliament, so we're watching and wishing all the very best for those who are directly affected.
I want to talk a little bit about what's been happening over the last few weeks, but sort of seemed to come to a head yesterday with a caucus meeting for the National Party. You know, we've had media speculation about the Prime Minister's popularity amongst his MPs for a little while now. There's been some reported internal leaks. Tell us a little bit about what happened during the caucus meeting yesterday and where things are sitting at the moment with his popularity.
Where do I start? Well, we have a long tradition that in the caucus that we don't talk about what happens inside the caucus. It's a sort of a safe place where everybody can have their say and have their arguments, and we argue about things. And then, but when we come out, we are united and focused as a party. And yes, there has been mutterings and whisperings, and so the Prime Minister was determined to move the page and set that aside with a clear vote of confidence from the caucus, which he received, he's getting on with it. You know, just in terms of the politics, I mean, the thing that people, you know, it's worth remembering is that with the exception of the COVID election, which was a kind of unique situation, the elections in New Zealand are always very tight between the centre-right and the centre-left. I came in 2011 when John Key was ruling the country like a colossus, and we got back by one seat with a one-seat majority. So things are always very tight. What's different this time round is that our two coalition partners, New Zealand First and ACT, are doing well, and we have a genuine coalition where three parties are doing well, and so our share of the vote with the National Party is not as high as it has been in the past, and that's a real focus for us. We want to grow that, but we're also conscious of the fact that the centre-right as a group, that the coalition government is still polling very well, and in most polls will be back in power after the election. So there's sort of, you know, it's a different situation to what we're used to, with the big party not dominating as much as it has, of course we're going to be, you know, making the case over the next 6 months as to why, if you want to carry on with the current government, a vote for National is the way to go.
Do you think that the sort of instability, as it looks to be from the outside, is contributing to the polls not looking so good for National?
It's always important for any party to be, focusing on the issues that New Zealanders are concerned about rather than internal arguments. And so we're very keen to put this behind us and carry on, enormous focus on things like the fuel price, the crisis that we're dealing with, trying to get some growth into the economy, get some confidence back, all the other projects that we've got, such as restoring law and order and all the various things that we're doing. We're making good progress on most of them, but of course we're operating in an extremely complicated global situation with so much uncertainty, and that's a difficult time for many New Zealanders and many people around the world.
The caucus meeting yesterday took a long, long time. Was Luxon's leadership debated at length?
No, I wouldn't read anything to that. We're just, there's 49 of us in the caucus, and we wanted to have a good broad discussion, and there's lots of people to talk, and it was good. We had a good conversation.
So you feel 100% confident that the Prime Minister is the best person for the job right now?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And yes, and he has very good leadership skills and drawing together what is, 2 years ago everybody said, oh, there's no way he's going to be able to sort of handle Winston Peters and David Seymour and it's going to be a shambles. It hasn't. It's worked very well. We've had a very coherent government and we've had a clear program for the coalition agreements. There are plenty of people who don't agree with what we're doing, but that's fine. That's natural in a democracy. We've got a coherent policy that we've been carrying through and making good progress on that. So, yep, you're doing a good job.
Mm. Luxon has come out since the caucus meeting and said he's ready to crack on with the National Party's priorities, fixing the economy, helping New Zealanders who are facing the fuel crisis and such. I'm curious as to these sweeping changes to treaty clauses that we've seen come out this week. Why is this a priority, and how is this going to help New Zealanders facing the cost of living?
As I referred to, we've got the coalition agreements. We had coalition agreements with ACT and with New Zealand First. And one of the agreements with New Zealand First was that we'd have a look at the references to the principles of the treaty in legislation. What's happened over the last 30 or 40 years is Parliament has passed bills or laws which refer to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi in a wide variety of ways. Sometimes it's honour the principles of the treaty, sometimes it's account of, sometimes give effect to, sometimes have regard to, sometimes it's referring to the treaty, sometimes it's tertiary, sometimes it's the Treaty of Waitangi. It's a real sort of potpourri of things that have developed over the years. And the point of the process is to take stock of that and try and get some consistency and also ask ourselves, is it really necessary with regard to particular pieces of legislation? Does this make sense? Does it add any value? Is it relevant? We've had an exercise. It's taken a while to work our way through. Started off with about 28 pieces of legislation, but some of them have been dealt with separately, such as the Resource Management Act, which is being reformed, and that's probably one of the most important ones. Conservation Act's another one which has been dealt with separately. So this exercise has included a few. We've made some cabinet decisions, and at the moment a bill is being drafted to make these changes. We're consulting with iwi leaders, and then it'll eventually be introduced and go up to a select committee. So it's a long, slow process, but it's part of our coalition agreement.
Mm. I mean, there's definitely, the argument of consistency, we can talk about that, but we are seeing this sort of trend across, 23 different laws that we're going to potentially lower the treaty to its weakest legal standard of taking it into account, which means it can essentially be, considered and then set aside. Why, in order for consistency, do we have to lower the power that the treaty has?
I don't agree that it's the lowest rung of all the options. There are different.
It's certainly lower than giving effect to. Why wouldn't we just, in the sake of consistency, why wouldn't we raise it to ensure that we're always giving effect to the treaty within legislation?
Because that has real implications, and it might not always be appropriate.
It's not appropriate that we give effect to the Treaty of Waitangi, the binding document between the Crown and Māori?
Well, it depends what the legislation is. It may have absolutely no relevance to that. That is the question that we're asking. We could be dealing with a piece of legislation that is dealing with, there's a whole wide range of things that are included in legislation that's not always appropriate. And so what we're doing is we're starting as a proposition is let's be consistent. We'll take into account the treaty. And then, of course, there'll be arguments about individual pieces of legislation, and it's not a sort of a hard set in stone rule. It's the starting point of a discussion.
Isn't there a little bit of a contradiction there, though? You're saying we need more consistency, but then it's going to be different for different pieces of legislation.
Well, yes, but the point is what's happened over the last 30 years is there's been no coherency. It's just sort of been it's just come and gone in different ways, and people have just had this without a great deal of thought sort of written in a reference to the principles of the treaty, and it doesn't necessarily have any coherence. And so that's what we're doing. That's the point of the exercise.
Minister, have you looked into what the risks of making these changes are?
Yes, we've had plenty of advice from people, and in a society such as ours, there's always going to be a wide variety of views. Some people don't want any change and want to keep things as they are. There are other people who are not happy with the way things are and they want change.
So,
and so that's what politics is all about, is trying to sort of work your way through a path that most people can accept, some people can't, but what we're trying to do is to have a coherent approach to these things, and also have a discussion and as a country about, you know, what is the appropriate weight to give to the treaty in legislation in a modern democracy, and as we're trying to deal with modern issues across the board. Perfectly legitimate debate to be having.
If we were to look back at the Treaty Principles Bill, last year Prime Minister Christopher Luxon came out and said he, you know, acknowledges that there's been a knock to the trust between the government and Māori because of the Treaty Principles Bill, and, you know, there's a lot of work to be done to repair those relationships. ACTA said that they want to bring it back in this election year. You know, we're dealing with this movement from New Zealand First, and you've been talking about strengthening that coalition. Are we looking at, you know, consistently having to debate the validity of the Treaty of Waitangi every single, you know, election year if this is what the right bloc government is going to be?
Well, yes, I imagine that New Zealanders will be debating the relevance of the Treaty of Waitangi in the modern world that we live in. Yes, I think we will continue to debate that. It is, of course, something that's it's going to be debated.
Is it the right time to be debating that when the Prime Minister has acknowledged that the relationship between the government and Māori needs work at the moment?
Well, I mean, the point you make in regard to that, the government and Māori, I mean, there are nearly a million New Zealanders who are Māori, and they don't all think the same, and they have a wide variety of views. Two Māori New Zealanders, Winston Peters and Shane Jones, are the leaders of New Zealand First, which is the coalition partner that we're working on this policy with. They are Māori. They have a particular view of the world. So this idea that there is a Maori view about things is ridiculous. There's no such thing. We have a wide variety of...
It's not about implying that there's one view, though. It's about implying that there's a relationship there that the Prime Minister has acknowledged has taken a knocking in terms of trust. Is this really the right time to be sort of making big decisions about how we talk about the treaty within legislation that are potentially going to be quite hard to reverse in the future should another government come into power?
Well, no. The decisions of one government never bind the future governments. People can always revisit topics. But this exercise that we're doing, it will come as no surprise to anybody. It is well signalled as part of the coalition agreement. It's something that we've been working on, and there'll be many, many opportunities for people to debate it through the course of legislation as it carries on. And look, I don't think as a country we need to be refusing to engage and think about these things. So it is a perfectly legitimate question to ask, well, what is the relevance of the Treaty of Waitangi to this particular piece of legislation in a modern world today? It was something signed in 1840. What is the relevance to us today in the world that we live in, and where we're trying to focus on petrol prices, on restoring law and order, all these things? How is it relevant, and how should it be dealt with in legislation is a perfectly legitimate question to ask, and something that we will have a wide variety of views on and debate. And that's what we're doing, and we're not going to apologise for doing that. It's a perfectly legitimate thing to do.
If it is a perfectly legitimate thing to do, why has it been done so sort of shrouded by secrecy this year? You know, these cabinet decisions were made earlier in the year and were not publicly announced at the time, and then all of a sudden this sort of sweeping change has been made that a lot of people don't even really know about.
Well, because it's it's been well signalled, as I say, for a couple of years. It's not unusual for Cabinet to make decisions and then there to be a lag before announcements are made. We announce things when we want to announce things at an appropriate time. And like I say, we've Cabinet's made some decisions, we're drafting some legislation, but we're also consulting with iwi before we make the final decisions to introduce the bill. We haven't got to that point, but when we do and we have a bill that's ready to introduce to Parliament, of course it will be available for everybody to see. And so there's nothing unusual in that. What prompted some of the stories a couple of weeks ago was that the Waitangi Tribunal had requested information, and that information got into the public arena and people asked questions. So that's fine. It's no problem. There's nothing to hide. Everybody will have plenty of opportunity to see what we're doing.
What is the next, just quickly before we let you go, what is the next stage in which public can make submissions or have their say about this?
Well, it will be, we'll finalise a piece of legislation, which will be one bill sort of making changes to a number of pieces of legislation. That'll be introduced into the House, we hope, in the, maybe a couple of months before the election. Then it'll go off to a select committee and all New Zealanders will have an opportunity to have their say at that point.
And you honestly feel this is the best use of the government's time, given the current, you know, fuel crisis, cost of living crisis that we're dealing with?
Well, of course, it's not the, the government of the day doesn't have to deal with one issue. We have when we won the election 2 years ago, we got together the three parties, New Zealand First, led by Winston Peters, and we came up with a coalition agreement of a series of things that we were going to do over the course of 3 years. And this is one of those things. And yes, if we said we're going to do it over the 3 years, we're going to do it. And there's a whole bunch of other things that we've done, and not all of them are the number one priority for the country of the day at that moment, but that part of the coalition agreement. And I think it's a pretty important principle when a party gets together. They've been on the campaign trail, they've promised to do a whole bunch of things, then you end up with three parties in government, and you have to have an exercise to say, well, you know, the three of us have promised all these things, how are we going to sort of put that all together into a coalition agreement between three parties? We do that exercise, and then we follow up, and we do what we say we're going to do. I think that's a perfectly legitimate thing. And then at the end of 3 years, people in New Zealand can look at it and say, well, did they do a good job or not? Do we back them to carry on, or do we want to change? And that's how democracy works.
Thank you for explaining how democracy works, Minister Paul Goldsmith. I was confused on that one, so thanks for clarifying.
I'm glad.
You have a wonderful day. Thank you for making the time for a kōrero this morning.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Minister Paul Goldsmith.